The San Francisco Giants finish off a clean sweep of the Chicago Cubs and a clean sweep of this entire road trip. They've won 7 games in a row. They maintain their NL West lead, and they set up a potential postseason clinching game with a win tonight. So we'll break it all down on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. And coming up on today's show, as I said, we are going to talk first and foremost about the San Francisco Giants being one win away from clinching a spot in the postseason. I know a lot of people's expectations and hopes, rightfully so, are now on winning the National League West. And I completely understand that, and we'll talk about why. You know, I think for the first time all year, basically in the last few days, they are and should be considered the favorites in the division. But at the same time, this is a team that has really, you know, they went through a rough period that really started in the second half of 2016. You had the 98 loss 2017, 2018, when they went all in with trading for McCutchen and Longoria, thinking they could kind of, you know, eke out another year of an open window to try to go to the playoffs and win a championship. And that experiment did not work. And then after that season, Farhan Zaidi brought in 2019, some progress, 2020, some more progress, and then boom, 2021, back to complete relevance. They're 93-50. They have the best record in the major leagues. They have had the best record in the major leagues longer than anybody this season, and it's not even close. But my point is that this group deserves to celebrate making the postseason, even though it would just be, you know, with one more win or a Reds loss at this point, the Giants would clinch a postseason berth. And what that means is that they would, at the very worst, be the second wildcard team. But given that there's 19 games remaining for the Giants, and some other teams have 20 left, some teams have like 18 left, but given that there's so many games left, it's almost a certainty that at the very least, the Giants would be the home team in the wild card game. So, you know, I'm going to basically call that a certainty. The Giants, at the very least, will host the National League wild card game, which I just think is worth celebrating, especially given that there are so many players on this team and coaching staff who have not done this before. They have not been to the postseason before. And a number of coaches, like, have barely spent any time in the major leagues. Gabe Kapler, his only experience is some disappointment in Philadelphia, and then last year, disappointment on the last day of the season. So Kapler deserves to celebrate. And then, like I said, a lot of the coaches have not won or not even been in the major leagues. And then, you know, Farhan Zaidi has never won a World Series. And then you've got players on the team like Mike Yastrzemski, never been to the playoffs. Donovan Solano, I don't think he was with any of those teams. You know, he has some experience with the Dodgers and Marlins, but I don't think he was ever a part of any of those teams that were going to the postseason. And as I think through, I mean, Logan Webb has never been to the postseason. There are others, I'm sure, off the top of my head. I just wanted to make that point that, yes, the expectation for this season is much greater than just being the second wildcard team, but also they absolutely deserve to celebrate this accomplishment. Baseball is such a grind, and if you make the playoffs, especially given, you know, currently without expanded postseason like there was last year, It's just a tremendous accomplishment and it deserves to be celebrated. That being said, do I expect them to, you know, plastic out their clubhouse so they can spray champagne? Do I expect them to charge the mound together and like dogpile to, you know, when they clinch this at least second wildcard position? No, I don't expect that. But at the same time, they would deserve to do it if they do decide to do that. I've always considered it like an interesting psychological question as to how and why some teams celebrate in that way under different circumstances. This team, given that they're in first place, I don't think they're going to have the full-on champagne celebration, but they deserve to have some kind of, you know, toast and drink some champagne because this has just been a great season. They could have the best season in franchise history, potentially. Certainly in San Francisco Giants history, that record is 103 wins. That's the most wins that the Giants have ever had in a season. They did it in the 90s. They also did it, I think, in the early 60s. So this Giants team legitimately has a chance to break that San Francisco franchise record. I think they won 106 once in New York. But at 93-50 with 19 games remaining, if they just go 10-9, which is what FanGraphs is projecting them to do, just going 10-9, you're talking about 103 wins. So if they can just go 11-8, they would have the best record in San Francisco Giants history. So it's just been a great, great ride. This is the first step clinching a postseason berth. They're going to be the first team to clinch a postseason berth, assuming they can get it done in short order here. So congratulations to them. I guess congratulations can wait until they actually clinch. But with a win, your San Francisco Giants are going to the playoffs for the first time since 2016. And I think that's pretty cool. And like I said, worth celebrating. So coming up next, we're going to talk more about a couple of standout players who kind of go completely under the radar, but have been in top 10, top 5 lists in some incredible categories. To see Giants on this list is going to surprise you. And then we're also going to get into some of the specifics of these games over the weekend with the Giants sweeping the Chicago Cubs in Chicago. But before we get into that, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is that there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, as promised, I want to get into a couple of lists that really stood out to me when I was going through this. I typically, whenever there's certain players who kind of stand out to me, I end up checking on FanGraphs and seeing where they rank, and I end up usually finding some pretty interesting stuff. And the first one for me was about Darren Ruff, because this guy, to me, is, in fact, one of the most underrated hitters in Major League Baseball. Because since coming to the Giants from Korea, he has just been an absolute monster at the plate. Kind of doesn't matter lefty or righty, but he's mostly been in a platoon role. So I do understand being in a platoon situation and putting up huge numbers is different than being an everyday player and putting up huge numbers. But I think a big reason he doesn't play every day is because this is just how this roster is constructed. And, you know, if he plays every day, you're taking away playing time from somebody else who should definitely be playing against right-handed pitching. So it makes sense what they're doing. I've said this 1,000 times, but at the end of the day, Darren Ruff has just been so, so productive. And he was just like in the lineup on Sunday against a lefty, and just, he's just reliable to hit a rocket pretty much every single time he comes to the plate. He just hits the ball so hard. He hits it with authority. He hits it in the air. How often do you see Darren Ruff ground balls? Not very often at all. So he has just been a great find by Farhan Zaidi, Scott Harris. I'm not sure exactly who targeted him out of Korea to come back to the major leagues. He had been with the Phillies earlier in his career, had struggled for the most part, although he did hit left-handed pitching. So I think he was initially targeted to be someone to hit left-handed pitching, but he's just taken off in this, you know, with this opportunity. So looking at these lists that I'm promising to talk about, since 2020, so last year and this year combined, among all major league players with a minimum of 350 plate appearances in the last two seasons, of course, last year being a short year, the top 10 list in weighted on base average, which is pretty much the most kind of robust, all-encompassing offensive metric you can find. The one thing it doesn't do is it doesn't adjust for park effects. And if it were to adjust for park effects, this would actually help Darren Ruff and other Giants players even more because they play in a pitcher-friendly park. But Darren Ruff is in the top 10 among all major league players in weighted on base average. And weighted on base average is scaled so that the league average weighted on base average is always the league average on base percentage in a given season. So the average on base percentage, without looking it up, is going to be around 320 or so. And so that means the average weighted on base average is going to be around 320 or so. And weighted on base average attempts to weight the difference, the different offensive outcomes appropriately. So it gives the proper value to a single, the proper value to a double, because we've historically been able to study these outcomes and determine what the run value is of the average double, the average triple, the average home run. And so this does all that math for us and then scales it to on-base percentage. So anyway, you know, as I read through the list, it'll kind of validate this metric because these players are the best hitters in the game. The top of the list goes Juan Soto, number one, Mike Trout, a close second. Bryce Harper is third. Ronald Acuna Jr. is fourth. Fernando Tatis Jr. is fifth. So right there, again, validating this metric. Number six, how about Brandon Belt? This is kind of an unintended guy to find on the list. I'm trying to talk about Ruff, but how about Brandon Belt coming in behind those guys? Soto, Trout, Harper, Acuna, Tatis, Belt. Like, how do you argue with that? You can, people, you know, try to say that Belt isn't a good player, but the fact that he's showing up sixth on this list says otherwise. Number seven, Jesse Winker. Number eight, Freddie Freeman. Number nine, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And number 10, Darren Ruff. Darren Ruff has a 395 weighted on base average since 2020. Brandon Belt has a 403 weighted on base average, one of just eight players to have a 400 or better weighted on base average since the 2020 season. Again, minimum 350 plate appearances. Looking at just 2021, among players with a minimum of 250 plate appearances, Darren Ruff comes in at number eight. And again, the list, just to validate kind of the methodology here. Harper, number one. If you haven't checked lately, Harper is having a huge 2021 season, possibly going to win the MVP award. Number two, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who has like 43 home runs or something like that. Number three, Juan Soto. Four, Tatis Jr. Five, Acuna Jr. Six, Yasmani Grandal with a .236 batting average, by the way. So that just goes to show you that batting average is overrated. Ton of walks, ton of power. Number seven, Jesse Winker. Number eight, Darren Ruff with a .400 weighted on base average. Number nine, Nick Castellanos. Number 10, Shohei Ohtani, and number 11, Brandon Belt at .390. So this was intended to be a conversation mostly about Darren Ruff, but it also becomes a conversation about Brandon Belt. These two guys, you wouldn't really think of it, like people who don't really closely follow baseball certainly are not thinking about Darren Ruff and Brandon Belt being the most impact offensive players on the best team in baseball. It's pretty remarkable. Devin Fink actually wrote an article on FanGraphs the other day titled Darren Ruff, the best hitter on a playoff team. And really, he could have entitled it Darren Ruff, the best hitter on the best team in baseball. And so it's pretty remarkable. It's remarkable for Darren Ruff. First and foremost, congratulations to him on all his success. It's not normal for guys to just have this kind of success given the career trajectory that Darren Ruff has been on. Like, to have some major league experience but be the type of player he was, which was just kind of a fringe major leaguer, then to go to Korea and then to come back on a non-roster invite deal to spring training, and then to have this kind of impact. It's not normal. So first and foremost, like I said, credit to Kapler, credit to the coaches who have undoubtedly helped him, and credit to the front office for targeting him. He's just one of a number of huge success stories, and it's why the Giants are where they are. Players like Darren Ruff, players like Mike Yastrzemski, Alex Dickerson, Donovan Solano, and on and on and on. And then revitalizing the careers of veterans, including Brandon Belt. So anyway, coming up next, we're going to get more into the specifics of some of these games and then look ahead to this upcoming series against the San Diego Padres. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's really something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. We have a Locked On group chat, and I swear to you, at least 50% of the time, we're talking about Built Bars and which flavors are our favorites. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. It's hard for me to say which one's my favorite. Today, my flavor of the month is going to be raspberry. The Built Bar brand is so incredible because these Built Bars taste legitimately like candy bars, but they're healthy too, and that's really important to me. 17 to 18 grams of protein, just 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, excuse me. All right, as promised, here in the final segment, we're going to discuss more about the specifics of some of these games in Chicago. I thought there were a few things that really stood out, including something bad. I've pointed out that there's one area the Giants haven't really done well in this season, but after the series in Chicago, it reminded me that there's a second. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about this crazy game on Sunday. Giants should have blown out the Cubs, but it was a lot closer than it should have been. But the bullpen narrowly held on. And as I say that, I realize I didn't talk about my other list, so I'll quickly get into that. The other list here, I was just thinking about how good Tyler Rogers has been. I noticed that, you know, this season he's got like a 1-something ERA, and a lot of people have historically talked about Tyler Rogers as just like a gimmicky pitcher, and that he's just only able to have success against teams because of the element of surprise, and that they haven't seen him, and so therefore he shouldn't pitch against a team 2 days in a row. There was all that talk that he can't pitch against the Dodgers, but I just think that's a bunch of baloney. And in Tyler Rogers' career, he has a 2.26 ERA. So I don't have a lot of patience and tolerance for that type of talk. It's really disrespectful to a guy who's just been phenomenal. So when we look at the lowest ERAs among relievers since 2019, which was Rogers' first season, among relievers with a minimum of 100 innings pitched, which is a pretty easy threshold to get to if you've been pitching since 2019. That's just, you know, 33.3 innings per season. So that's not a full season. So anyway, it's not hard to qualify for this list. Number one, Liam Hendricks, a guy who just signed a huge contract with the White Sox. Great reliever. Number two, kind of under the radar with the Tampa Bay Rays, is Andrew Kittredge, who also has a 2.10 ERA. The Rays have just been very, very successful with churning out quality arms, and specifically in the bullpen. Number three in Major League Baseball since 2019, Tyler Rogers with his 2.26 ERA. Number three, in the game since 2019, since his major league debut. It's not even like he improved to get to this point. We're talking about in his career, he has ranked up there with the very best relievers in the game. And how about number four on the list, Josh Hader, coming in with a worse ERA than Tyler Rogers at 2.35. And then the real shocker here, number five on the list. Can you guess it? It's a Giants player. No, it's not Jake McGee. No, it's not, I don't know, Dominic Leone. Harleen Garcia, number five among all relievers since 2019 in earned run average. And Garcia came to the Giants in 2019. So this is essentially, I think he was a waiver claim in spring training. So I do believe this is his Giants career number here. He and Tyler Rogers in the top five among all relievers since 2019 with a minimum of 100 innings. Just incredible. And Farhan Zaidi, again, has built this bullpen into a really strong unit with kind of spare parts and random guys like Tyler Rogers from the minors. Tyler Rogers was in the Giants system forever, never got an opportunity. They call him up and he's just been one of the best relievers in the game. It's truly incredible. So they've done it on the offensive side with the likes of Darren Ruff, and they've done it on the pitching side with the likes of Harleen Garcia. And how about the likes of Kevin Gausman? It's just amazing their ability to find talent where other teams are kind of missing on those specific players. So anyway, like I said, though, I want to talk a little bit about the specifics of these games and kind of what happened over the weekend. Wilmer Flores and Austin Slater came off the injured list. Caleb Berger and John Brebbia were optioned. And immediately, Wilmer Flores made a huge impact. They, of course, timed it great with these guys coming off the IL when there was a lefty starter on the mound. And Flores, like, single-handedly pretty much won this game. They would not have been able to win without Flores unless, you know, his replacement had been able to put up monster numbers like Flores did. Hit a home run, had a couple other hits, and made some pretty good defensive plays at first base, including in the ninth inning in a one-run game with the tying run, I think, on second base at that point. So great to have Flores back, especially against left-handed pitching. The one thing I want to just complain about for half a second is the communication in the outfield. So base running has consistently been not the Giants' strength this season. In fact, they've been one of the worst base running teams. Not only are they not particularly fast as a group, but they've also just made a lot of outs on the bases, kind of inexcusably bad base running decisions, and just, you know, being below average generally. And it's just one of the few areas where they've been below average. And this happened in this series. Brandon Crawford was thrown out at home. Yastrzemski, let's see, it was a Kevin Gausman bunt, and they were able to throw to first to get Kevin Gausman, and then Crawford broke for home. I'm actually having trouble remembering the specific play because there's been so many bad base running plays, and Crawford has been part of a lot of them. There was that, you know, in Oakland, he a couple times in the span of one road trip, he got kind of picked off, caught stealing from second base in a situation where he really shouldn't have. So that's one area of weakness, but also the communication in the outfield just has to get better. And a couple of times in high profile moments, like Austin Slater and Alex Dickerson in Queens had that issue in the ninth inning where routine fly ball and nobody really demonstratively called for the ball. They ended up colliding and the ninth inning situation got a lot dicier than it should have been. And then in this series in Chicago, Chris Bryant and Austin Slater also collided directly leading to a run in what ended up being a one-run game. There were also some balls lost in the sun, but I don't really blame the outfielders for that. There's really nothing you can do if that happens. And it's just kind of a product of Wrigley Field. It can be really tough at times with the wind blowing and the sun. But the communication in the outfield, it's true that in the high-profile moments, the kind of memorable ones, it has been Austin Slater in center field both times. So he needs to do a better job of being demonstrative and screaming that he's got it. Apparently, Chris Bryant, you know, you could read his lips and he was calling for it, but they've got to be louder. There's always someone to blame if two outfielders collide. If nobody called for it, you blame them both for not calling for it and still going for the ball. If somebody called for it and the other guy collided with him, then it's that person's fault. The guy who wasn't calling for it heard the other person calling for it and still went after the ball. If they're both calling for it, it's the center fielder's ball, and so it's the corner outfielder's fault. There's always somebody to blame, and so this is just one of a very few number of, you know, concerns I have about this team. You can't have that happening in a critical game. They've got to be better at that, and so, you know, I'm sure they're handling it in-house, but that's just, I just had to point that out. So let me just look through my notes here, see if there's anything else. Tyler Rogers escaped a huge jam in the seventh inning on Sunday, and Captain Brandon Belt struck again with a three-run homer. Tommy La Stella had a big game over the weekend. So yeah, the Giants are rolling. They've won seven straight, and like I said, chance to clinch a postseason berth tonight, and they maintain their 2.5-game lead over the Dodgers. The Padres were of no help over the weekend, getting swept in LA. So the Giants, despite sweeping the Cubs, didn't gain any ground. So that division race is still very much in play. So we'll continue to provide updates all along the way. We do shows every single Monday through Friday. Even into the off season, we do shows. So subscribe, follow, wherever it is that you're listening. These shows are now on YouTube. And I apologize if there's any glitching issues on YouTube, but those issues should be ironed out if you're listening anywhere else. Anyway, once again, my name is Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe, like, and comment. And I read all the comments, and it's a lot of fun to have the interaction. So thank you guys so much for listening. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow, hopefully talking about a clinch for the Giants. So I can't wait to be with you then. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.